We were looking in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Ayin Aleph, the halachas of Oinein, and unfortunately, just as we were learning the halachas, a very, very complicated shaila of Oinein literally just cropped up today and on Friday. Somebody passed away in London the early hours of Friday morning. Late Thursday night, Friday morning. Actually, the father of a brother-in-law of mine. Friday morning. The Levaya, however, did not take place before Shabbos. It took place last night in London and is coming to Eretz Yisrael, and the Levaya will be at 6 o'clock this evening here. So now again, he passed away on Thursday night. So had the Levaya been that day, let's say Friday afternoon, for example, then according to what we've learned, fine. So they would have been, all the children would have been in a status of aninus. They would have been an oinein until the Levaya. They would not put on tefillin, they would not say krishma, they would not do brachas, they would not do mitzvahs until after the Levaya. But here the Levaya was only after Shabbos. Now we saw that there's no aninus on Shabbos. On Shabbos itself, you're allowed to have boso and you're allowed to have yayin. So the question is, what about just before Shabbos? Do they daven mincha late Friday afternoon? There was aninus on Friday, but on Shabbos there was no aninus. So when did that patur kick in? Literally only on Friday night, or maybe even samuch to Shabbos. I saw a number of poskim write that they are mechuyev to daven mincha Friday afternoon. There's no avelus, there's no aninus, there's nothing you could do now. It's almost Shabbos. I'm not sure what they pask in London, but then presumably again Motzah Shabbos last night, they become an oinein once again. It's a very strange situation. They were an oinein on Friday, not however on Shabbos, but once again today an oinein, but the whole day today. It'll be late because the Levaya is only 6 o'clock this evening here.
If they were mechuyef to daven mincha on Friday, I assume that would have to be mincha katana, but not mincha gedola.
Correct. A mincha gedola, let's say at 12, 31 o'clock, then they're presumably still an oinein. But at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when it's almost Shabbos. For example, give an example. When somebody is Rachmana Litzlan sitting Shiva, he does not wear Shabbos clothes. But during on the Shabbos during the Shiva, then he does wear Shabbos clothes according to our minhag. Now, at what point is he allowed to put on his Shabbos clothes? He does not need to wait till it's already Laila to put on his Shabbos clothes. Close to Shabbos. What's close? 5 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. At the end of the day, then he's allowed to put on his Shabbos clothes and he's allowed to put on his shoes as well.
Is he allowed to shower before putting on his Shabbos clothes?
No.
No.
No, not during the Shiva. Not during an Oinein either. So you see that, well, you don't literally have to wait till the very last split second, namely Shabbos, for these heterim to kick in. So maybe the same with aninus, in which case you'd be chayav to daven mincha. So you'd have a very, very bizarre situation. Friday morning, he was an Oinein. Late Friday afternoon, he's not an Oinein. Shabbos, he's not an Oinein. What's a Shabbos? He's once again an Oinein. All through Sunday until tonight, with many other complications as well, because the Levaya is after nightfall. So the question is, to cover tefillin. Those staying behind in London presumably start sitting Shiva today. The others will only start tomorrow. A very, very complicated shaila. Anyway, we should not know of such tzaras. So either way, let's come back. We were looking in Shulchan Aruch Siman Ayin Aleph. So far we learned Sif Aleph, which was the main halacha that an oinein is potter from mitzvahs, and not only is he potter from mitzvahs, he's not allowed to be machmir. That's the way we paskin. By the way, again, all of the shailas we discussed last week are unfortunately lamaisa today for my brother-in-law, because whilst he's traveling on the plane, he's now currently, I think, as we speak, about to board a flight from London to Eretz Yisrael. Do the halachas of aninus apply on the aeroplane? If they have something to eat, I assume they're going to eat on the aeroplane. Do they make a bracha? Now, surely there's nothing they can do whilst on the aeroplane to arrange the levaya. I presume the levaya has been arranged anyway, but even without that. So some want to say, if that's the case, and the halachas of aninus do not apply. The whole reason of aninus is you're involved in the tzarakah of the kvura, but whilst you're 30,000 feet up in the air, there's not much you can do. Although, mind you, nowadays it could be with communication you can, even from a flight, arrange things down here. Akoponim, these are complicated shailas, and I'm sure they're all in touch with their respective rabbonim. So let's go to the Shulchan Aruch Siman Ayin Aleph, Sif Beis. That's where we're up to. Well, let's just see these halachas briefly. Because as I mentioned, this entire Siman in Shulchan Aruch is literally a chazara of the whole sugya that we have learned. So we're up to Sif Beis. Bameh Dvarim Amurim, says the Shulchan Aruch. When does the above halachas apply? It is all b'chol, only on a weekday. Aval b'Shabbos, chayev kol hayoyim. On Shabbos you are chayev in mitzvahs ad ho'erev. Im machshich al hatchum b'tzorkei kevura. Remember we saw this in the Gemara, we saw this in Tosfos. But even on Shabbos, it's not entirely true. It's not 100% true to say that on Shabbos there is nothing you can do. Because if you remember, we discussed that if you need to get hold of an oroin and tachrichim, a coffin, shrouds, and the only place you can get hold of them is out of town. So you would be allowed to walk to the end of the tchum on Shabbos, not out of the tchum, but the end of the tchum, so that the minute Motzei Shabbos arrives, you'd be right there to leave the tchum, which means, let's say for argument's sake, it takes an hour to walk till the end of the tchum. That last hour of Shabbos, you are involved with aninus, with a kavura, in which case you've been oinim, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. It's only ad ha'erev if you need to be machshich al atchum. Aval im einu machshich al atchum. But if you are not being machshich al atchum, what does that mean? If you've got no need to go to the end of the tchum, for example, you have the oroin and you have the tachrichim, everything you need, you have it all available here locally, and there's no reason, no need to leave town. So if that's the case, then you're chayiv gam le'eis erev. So then your chayiv means all the halachas of you'll be chayiv b'mitzvahs. Why? Because again, there's nothing for you to do until Motzei Shabbos. The Yom Tov Sheni, now this is a tremendous chidush, dinoi kechoil. We did not see this. Yom Tov Sheni, dinoi kechoil. This is a tremendous, tremendous chidush, which obviously is not negeah over here in Eretz Yisrael, but it is in Chutz La'aretz. On the second day of Yom Tov, it has the halachas of choil. Now we need to know, what does that mean, the halachas of choil? That means there would be the halachas of aninus. Does that mean that you can be involved in the kavura on the second day of Yom Tov? We'll see in the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the Yom Tov Rishayim, even on the first day of Yom Tov, which obviously you cannot do a levaya on the first day, but in Reitzah L'Kovrei Boi B'Yoyim, if you do want to bury him on this day, Al Yedei Oivdei Kechavim, using a guy, so then, dinoi kechoil. Then also, we have the lochas of a choil. Then, eino reitz of a kovrei boi b'yoyim. Then, dinoi kashabbos. Which means, technically, you can arrange a kavura even on the first day Yom Tov. How so? Using goyim. And if that be the case, then it turns out you are involved in the kavura even on the first day. Which means, the first day, there'll be no alochas. You'd be an oinin, just like on a weekday. But if you are not arranging the levaya on the first day Yom Tov, then it'd be like a Shabbos. There'll be no halachas of aninus, and you'd be chayav the mitzvah. So let's see. We saw a lot of halachas over here. Let's see, not all of the Mishnah Berurah, but let's see some of the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot Ches, on Shabbos you are chayav the mitzvahs, b'chol habrachos, u'b'chol hamitzvahs, u'muta leilech labeis haknesses, and you'll be allowed to go to shul as well. Again, when on Shabbos. If you need to be machshich al hatchum, you need at the end of Shabbos afternoon to walk to the end of the tchum, then the halachas of aninus would apply on Shabbos, says the Mishnah Berurah, v'hu adin. So too would apply b'mokim shetzorech lahoishiv gaboim la'achar mincha la'hashvois ba'ad mokim kvura o'elastik b'shad tzorek yameis. So too, if you're not being machshich al hatchum, but for some reason you need to negotiate with the gaboim, meaning the gaboim of the Beis HaKvaras, for some reason you need to negotiate with them on Shabbos regarding the exact mokim of the kavura. So once again, on Shabbos, you are involved in the Tzorek Yameis, and you have the lochas of Aninus. Go to the Mishnah Berurah, Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph. We saw in the Shulchan Aruch a tremendous chiddush that on Yom Tov Sheni, even though it's Yom Tov, it has the halachas of a weekday, which means there will be aninus. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Yud Aleph, Va'afilu einai roitze lekovroi. Even if you're not actually planning on burying him on the Yom Tov Sheni, Mikol Mokoim, Chal Olav Kol Dini Aninus. You are allowed to bury somebody on the second day Yom Tov, even if you're not planning on do so, but because you are allowed, therefore you have the halachas of an Oinein. However, V'davka Kashi Yochai L'Koivroi, that's only when indeed it is physically possible to bury him. Ela Shu'ela writes it, but for some reason they don't want to do so. But if it is impossible to bury him, machmas aid ovid kichovim, this is very seasonal, because it is a non-Jewish holiday. Imagine it's a non-Jewish holiday, like December the 25th, all the goyim are not working, there is no way you will find anybody to help you in the Beis HaKvaras, for example. So then indeed, you're not an Oinin, because there's no way. It's not just you don't want to, it's not possible to do the Levaya today.
Is that because they cannot do Malacha? In other words, they could theoretically do the Kvorah only with Jews, right?
Yeah, if it would be possible. If it would be possible, yeah, but they wouldn't be able to dig and everything like you said, correct. You know, I'll tell you a very interesting thing. I had a friend in Gates of Yeshiva. His name was Jeremy Bernstein. Jeremy Bernstein. We were bocherim together in Gates of Yeshiva, and he eventually got married, and he actually lives, if I'm not mistaken, until today in Gates Ed. In Gates Ed. He got married. He had a number of girls, I think three or four girls. And then he had a baby boy. His first boy after, I think, four girls. And he named his son Shammai, which is quite a rare name nowadays. He called his son Shammai. Somebody told me that at the bris, at the Suda, he stood up and he said, I'd like to explain why we call the baby Shammai, which is quite a rare name. He said, it was about 9 months ago, exactly the time of year that we're standing in now, December, towards the end of December, one of the Roshei HaYeshiva in Gateshead, his name is Rav Shammai Tzahn. was a big Rosh Yeshiva of Shammai Tzan. His children are now the Rosh Yeshiva there in the Sunderland Yeshiva. And he was Nifta, if I'm not mistaken, on the English December the 25th. December the 25th, as we know, with a goyim, is literally a total standstill. There's nothing you could do to get them to move or do anything whatsoever. And it was the job of the local goy in the Beis HaKvaris to dig a grave, which is never an easy job, but especially December the 25th in Gateshead, it is absolutely freezing cold. Just to step outside, never mind to dig the rough, maybe frozen ground and to dig a caver. And there was no way that any goy would be willing to do this, and knowing them, they'd be drunk for who knows how long. And the question was, so how on earth they're going to do this kavura? So there was somebody in the gates of Yeshiva, Rabbi Avrom, maybe you've heard of him, Toti Lebrecht. Toti Lebrecht, he's the big manager of the yeshiva. He said, fine, I'm going to take this case on hand. I'm going to go with my own bare hands and a spade, and I'm going to dig a cave out. I don't care how hard it is. And he asked this Jeremy Bernstein to join him. So the two of them went with coats and scarves and gloves and boots and hats, absolutely freezing cold, and they dug a cave in the freezing, freezing cold. I can tell you, in Gateshead, it gets absolutely freezing. But again, to dig without any proper machinery, the solid ground, not an easy task. It took them a long time to do. They dug the kever, and they managed to do the levaya of Rav Shammai Tzan, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, if I'm not mistaken, on that very day. This Jeremy Bernstein says at the Bris, I had a dream. Rav Shammai Tzan came to me in a dream, he said. And he said to me, I just want to wish you a Yasha Koyach for ensuring that the Levaya was indeed on time, because had you not done so, who's to say the Levaya would have been the next day or 2 days later or 3 days later, who knows? And because of that, I give you a bracha, I guarantee you that I know until now you've got daughters, you'll be zeicha to a son. And indeed, within the year, he had a baby boy. And that's why he called his son Shammai after the Rosh Hashiva of Shammai Tzan. A true story from a friend of mine who lives in Gateshead.
Wow.
Yeah. It is a bit of a wow. Okay, let's go to the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Gimel. This is also a halacha that we saw. Hamashameir Esames. Remember, we saw not only if somebody who's dealing with a burial, but also somebody who is guarding the dead body. Hamashameir Esames Afilu Einoi Meisoi. Even if it is not his own relative, but if you've been asked to look after the dead, then you are potter. Says the Mishabura Yud Beis. Potter Mekriya Shema V'Tfila V'Kol HaMitzvah Yisbeneshu Oisik B'Mitzvah. Because you are guarding from any vermin shouldn't attack the dead body. And even if on a boat, remember we saw one day in the Gemara, also Chashin on the Gemara. And he's not allowed Oz lahachmir al atzmoi to be machmir, even if you're outside of Dalad Amos, you are considered to be an Oisik B'mitzvah. Sif Dalad, in the Shulchan Aruch, we saw this as well. Hoyu Shnayim Meshamrim, says the Shulchan Aruch. Then, Zeh Meshamer V'Zeh Koirei. V'achar Kach Meshamer Zeh V'Koirei Zeh. If there are two guarding the dead, then they can take turns. So one will be Koirei Krishma, whilst the other one protects.
It's interesting how the Mechaber changes the order of the words after the comma to show that it's the other one who does the Shemira.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Sif Hei, Hachoifer Kever Lemeis Potter. Somebody who is digging a grave, he's not guarding, he's not burying, but he's digging the grave, is also Potter. Says the Mishnah Brura in Yud Gimel, Afilu Bashas Noichoi Ma'at. Even at a time when he has to take a break, imagine you're busy laboring, hard work, digging a grave, and it takes you 3 hours. So after an hour and a half, you just sit down to take a bit of a break. Shegam Oz Nikra Adayin Oisik B'Mitzvah. Why? Sh'alideze Yischazik Koichoi Lachzer V'Lachper. Because by taking a break, that will allow you to re-energize. And therefore, we don't look at it really as a break. Essentially, we look at it as if you're continuing your work, you're still involved in the keva. And the reason why you're taking a break is in order to refresh your koiches. Therefore, even then, you have the status of an oisik b'mitzvah, and amela you'll be exempt. Sivov, we saw as well. Hayu beis o yoiser. What happens if there were two or more choifrim? So then it depends. How many people do you actually need for the job? Kol hatzrichim letzorche hachafira. All of those necessary for the digging of the grave. Bebas achas peturim. Ve'im yesh noisofim. If there are other people who are unnecessary, it's very nice they're giving a hand, but we don't actually need them, then nishmotim, they would slip away, the koirin, they would recite kriya shema, the choizrim elu or misaskim, then they would come back, they would deal with the digging, and then v'acherim nishmotim the koirim, and again, then the others could then slip away and read shema, say kriya shema. The final halacha, Siv Zayin in Shulchan Aruch, and we learn this as well. Osur likrois kriya shema toich arba amois shel meis. If you remember, this was a completely different halacha. Everything we've been learning until now is begeder oisik b'mitzvah. You are involved in the mitzvah, whether it is the burial, whether it is the digging of the keva, whether it is the walking to the end of the tchum to be ready, whether it is guarding the mace, you're an oisik b'mitzvah. Whereas over here, you're not oisik b'mitzvah, you're just visiting the Beis HaKvaras. Whether it's a levaya or not a levaya makes no difference. The very fact that you are within four amos of the keva, if you remember, this is what the Gemara called loyeg l'rosh. It is, as it were, taunting or mocking the dead. To be able to be Makayim mitzvahs and they can't is a loyeg l'rosh, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you're within four amos of the Beis HaKvaras, ve'im kara, and if you did read Shema, lo yotzo, you're not yotzi. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Tes Vov, v'hu adin lo mar kaddish, v'sha'ar divrei kedusha, you should not do v'hatam, mishum loyeg La Roche, as we said, mocking the dead. Yeah, okay, so we'll leave the Shulchan Aruch over here. If you just keep your Shulchan Aruch open just a second, if you look at the next siman in Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph, Ayin Beis, that's in fact also a halacha that we've learned. Noisei hamito, those carrying the coffin, the mito, v'chilufeihem, and those who exchange them, v'chilufeichilufeihem, and those who exchange the original, everyone's taking turns, beinoisam shem lefnei hamito, beinoisam shem lachareho, and it depends. Me'achar shel hamito, tzorech bohem, Pturim, those who are needed in carrying the dead, apoto, the shar hamalav nesameis she'ein lamito tzeirev bohem, then chayovim. Okay, we saw these halachas as well. Be'ezus Hashem, these halachas should be halacha v'lei l'maisa, but unfortunately the inevitability of life is that these halachas are, of course, negea from time to time. Okay, let's go back for the remaining minutes back into our Gemara. We're on the Gemara in Daf Yud Ches Omud Aleph. Yud Ches Omud Aleph. We're on the fourth wide line, and the Gemara says as follows: Tana Rabbanan. You have the Gemara Tana Rabbanan.
Yep.
Towards the end of the fourth wide line, Tana Rabbanan. Hamoylech atzamois mimokoim lemokoim. If somebody is transporting bones from place to place, Hare ze lo yitneim. Do not place them the daskia. What is a daskia? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Maritzoif Godoil Shel Oir. So Rabbi Yosef, how do Rabbi Artskol translate the daskia? Some sort of bag or, so I think you're on mute.
Sack.
Right, it's a sack. A sack made out of leather. Do not put the bones in a bag. The yitneim al gaba chamoir, then placing them on a donkey. The yirkav aleihem, and then you ride on them. So don't sit on this bag of bones. Why? Mipnei shenoyeg bohem minhag bizoyoin. Because that is considered to be practicing Minhag B'Zayin. It's completely disrespectful to the dead if you put the bones in a bag and you're busy sitting on it as a pillow, as a cushion. However, Ve'im Hoyom Misyorei, but if, however, he was afraid, Mipnei Nochrim. What happens if he was afraid of Goyim, or Mipnei Listim, or of bandits? He's worried. If you're telling him he can't sit on the bones, so he's going to have the bag draping down off the side of the donkey. So if he gets caught, who knows what will happen to the bones? So then, Mutter. So then it will be perfectly permissible. Says the Rashi, Ve'im hoyom isyorei v'tzorech lirkoi v'alasus, and he needs to ride on the donkey v'lorutz and to rush. So then indeed he would be allowed to put the bones on the donkey and ride on them so that he shouldn't be caught by the listim or he shouldn't be caught by the nochrim. But otherwise, if all is calm, then you should not do so because it's considered a bizoyain for the mace. Considered a bizoyain for the mace. So we just learned now two halachas, a chumra and a kula. There's a resha and a sefer. The chumra is essentially don't put the bones on a donkey and ride on them. That's a bizoyain. The kula is, and if it is a shas adchak, because you're worried that goyim or listim, whatever will be, will interfere, then it is muta. Now, says the Gemara, o kederech sha'omru ba'atzomois, exactly as we said with regard to atzomois, everything with regard to bones is true also, kach omru b'sefer Torah. It's also true with regard to a Sefer Torah. Now, what does that mean, it's also true? What is true? Is this referring back to the Chumrah of the Resha or the Kula of the Sefer? We just said with regard to a dead body that essentially there's a Chumrah, there's an Issa, and there's a Heta. There's an Issa to ride on them under ordinary circumstances. There's a heter to ride under them under extraordinary circumstances. So when we say that atzamos are considered the same as a Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah is the same as atzamos, is that referring to halacha number one, halacha number two, or both? Meaning, if you're riding from place to place and you've got a Sefer Torah with you, what do you do with a Sefer Torah? Says the Gemara, ahaya, question mark. Ahaya, on which line? On which, what is that referring to? What exactly are you referring to? Ilema Aresha. If you tell me that you're referring to the Resha, what did it say in the Resha? It said in the Resha that you cannot put the bones in a bag and then sit on them. Are you trying to tell me that the same would be applicable in a Sefer Torah? Don't put the Sefer Torah in a bag and then sit on them? Is that the Chiddush? Says the Gemara, Pshita, Mi, Gora, Sefer Torah, Me'atzamos. Obviously, how can a Sefer Torah be any worse than bones? It's the most obvious thing in the world. I don't understand what you're being machadish to me. Obviously, if you can't sit on bones, then you certainly can't sit on a Sefer Torah either. So what exactly are you being machadish to me? Says the Gemara, you're quite right. Elo asefer. When I told you that the Sefer Torah is treated the same as bones, the chiddush was with regard to the Sefer, says Rashi. Elo asefer. Meaning, im hoyo misyore, then roichev. If you're transporting the Sefer Torah and you're worried that goyim or bandits are going to come and attack you, who knows what's going to happen to the Sefer Torah, then to the contrary, then you wouldn't be allowed to ride with the Sefer Torah sitting on it, because that's not a bezoyim. To the contrary, I'm doing so because of a kavod for the Sefer Torah, because I'm worried, who knows what's going to happen. And that's the chiddush that we are stating by comparing atzamos to a Sefer Torah. Have a look at Tosfos briefly. Normally we get a 10-minute warning at the top of the screen, but I see it hasn't come up today. But okay, we're running out of time either way. Let's have a look at Tosfos. The Yirkav Aleihem. Aval im mafshilon la'achoyrov. What happens if he hangs them behind him? He's not sitting on them. He hangs them behind him, alachamor, and shapir domi, then that would be okay. You're not allowed to ride on them, but strapped to your back is okay. The chain, the Sefer Torah. And so too, a chiddush in Tosfos, you're allowed to have the Sefer Torah, as it were, in a bag, in a rucksack on your back. Vafilu in bedaitcho leser Sefer Torah. And even if you would maintain that, no, perhaps a Sefer Torah is awesome, even if you would opine that a Sefer Torah is awesome to be strung over your back, Aval benaviim ubeksuvim shapir domi. But naviim beksuvim, a novi and a ksuvim, is definitely on a lower level of kedusha than a Torah. And therefore, maybe a Sefer Torah you wouldn't be allowed to string over your back, but in a Neviim v'Ksuvim you would be. Midnokat Sefer Torah. V'loy mistaber loyma mishum shariyusa denochrim v'listim. Da pshita demuta deloma yehi osa. Says Tosfos, to be perfectly honest, it's not so logical. We said that there's a chiddush with regard to a Sefer Torah that you're allowed to sit on it because of listim and nochrim. So that's also poshut. Lama yeh asa. Why should it be asa? All I'm doing is trying to protect the Sefer Torah. Void the behedya omri b'Yerushalmi. It clearly says in the Gemara Yerushalmi, diskya, a bag, a sack, mole sforim, oishahu v'atzomi shalmeis, harei zeh mafshilon la'achoyrov, V'roichev olav. So Taisa says, with regard to sitting on it, obviously it's awesome. If there's listim or nachrim, it's obviously mutter, both in the case of atzomais and the case of mace. The chiddush of our Gemara is you're supposed to be medayik, but it's only an issa to sit on it. But if you have it strung over your back, then it would be mutter. Elo asefa mishum listim mutter lirke valeim. Taisa once again says, v'hu adin la'achayrov. So too, behind you, it would also be muta afilu beloy listim. Having it strung on your back is not considered to be disrespectful. Okay, we'll hold it over here, and Bez Hashem will continue in the Gemara tomorrow, including this Tosfos, and then going over the Amud Bez Hashem.